The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
And that's what we're going to talk about today, is being a part of something. For a while now, God's been just rolling some stuff through my head, and I get to share it with you today. And it's this: invite, engage, and ignite. There are three phrases that you're going to hear about over the next 3 weeks: invite, engage, ignite. And we're going to just look at them and what they mean, and really what they mean to our church. Because I don't know if you guys know this or not, and some of you are sitting there this morning and you're falling asleep, and that's not good. Because if you fall asleep this morning, I might fall asleep too. I think we got in at like 5 o'clock this morning, and so like I'm running on coffee and adrenaline right now. So if I look out and you guys are asleep, I'm in trouble too, because I'm going to fall asleep up here. But we're at this point in our church, and whether you realize it or not, it really is true. We're at this point in our church where one of two things is going to happen. Over the next couple months, over the next several months, we're going to do one of two things. We're going to settle, like we talked about last week, and we're going to say, hey, listen, you know what? Church is good. We've got a good number of people here. I can get to my pew without having to worry that somebody else is sitting in my pew, so I'm happy with that. I can you know people's names, and church is good. I'm all right with it right now where it is. In your Christian life, you're going to say, hey, listen, you know what? This guy from, you know, the church brought in, he's pretty all right. He's not bad. He gets up there. He tells a couple funny jokes. He makes me laugh. He keeps me entertained on Sunday morning. My Christian life is, you know, it's not great, but it's better than it was, you know, 20 years ago. I'm good. Things are good. And you're just going to kind of like fall into this lull of settling. Or the other option is this: God is about to do an amazing thing in Mooringsport, Louisiana, through Mooringsport Baptist Church. I firmly believe it. Man, I'm telling you, it gets me excited thinking about it. But it's going to have to come from y'all. It doesn't matter how. Listen, I'm still an outsider. People look at me and they say, that guy talks funny. He didn't talk like the rest of us. He says bayou instead of bio. Or, you know, whatever. And so they look at me, I'm different. But when it comes from you, it's something real. It's genuine. And so over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about this idea of inviting, engaging, igniting, because I think that if our church focuses on these three things in our life, God is going to blow you away with what he's going to do in our community through our church. So the first one is invite, and we're going to look at the word invite today. We're going to look at the idea of what it means to be invited. How many of you guys have ever been invited someplace? Okay. How many of you have been the person who didn't get invited someplace? Anybody have that like traumatic childhood birthday party? Where like they had like the inflatables and they had the bouncy house and they had everything and everybody in the class got an invitation except you. And you're like, you guys, oh, that was just me. Okay. No, that's never happened to me either. But like an invitation is so interesting, isn't it? We Kelsey and I got back. We went to Alabama to do a wedding. And I said several times throughout the time they asked me to do the wedding, I said, I'm shocked that they asked me to do this wedding. Like, it was for a former student, but like, you know, I didn't think that she would invite me back to do the ceremony of their wedding. And an invitation means something. It's special. When you get an invitation to something, that person is saying, listen, something exciting is happening in my life, and I want you to be a part of it. Whether it's a birthday invitation or a graduation invitation or a wedding invitation or a baby shower invitation, whatever the invitation is, it means that somebody is achieving a milestone or something great in their life, and they want you to be a part of it. So when I think about that, and I think about where we are in our church, there's this story in Luke chapter 14 that I want to read, because I think that this is the invitation of God to each of us. It's Luke chapter 14. I'm going to start in verse 15 that says this: hearing this, a man sitting at the table of Jesus exclaimed, what a blessing it will be to attend the banquet in the kingdom of God. And Jesus replied with this story: A man prepared for a great feast. He sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to tell the guests, "Come, the banquet is ready." But they all began to make excuses. One said, "I've just bought a field and I must inspect it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I've just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me." Another one said, "Oh, I just got married, so I can't come." That always made me laugh. Even back then, Sorry, that wasn't in my notes at all. It was just funny. The servant returned and told the master what they said. His master was furious and said, "Go quickly into the streets, into the alleys of the towns. Invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." After the servant had done this, he reported, "There's still more room." So the master said, "Go out into the country lanes behind the hedges and urge anyone you find, come, so that the house will be full. For none of those who are first invited will even get the smallest taste of my banquet." It's an interesting story. It's kind of a layered story, and I want to break it down to more extent at some point in time. But what struck me about this story to start out with is the simple invitation. It's come. It's that simple. It's come. The first part of this invitation, and the first part of invitation of God to you and I, is always just start out with come. What's the old song? Just as I am, I come. Is that right? Okay, good. Yeah, just as I am. It starts with coming. The reason you're here today, why are you here today? I can tell you the reason I'm here today. About a year ago, Michael Moore called me and said, "Hey, would you ever consider coming to Mooringsport, Louisiana?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "You know where it is?" I said, "It's in Louisiana." And he said, "Right." But I mean, the reason I'm here is because of an invitation. You extended an invitation, a call to me, and my family came. You're here today because at some point in time, God extended a call into your life and said, "Hey, listen, you need salvation. You need forgiveness of your sins. You need a relationship with me." And you responded. That's why the end of our service, the last song we do, is called an invitational hymn. It's because it's a chance for you to respond to God's calling on your life. The reason you're sitting here today gets more specific because at some point in time, somebody said, "Hey, listen, this new preacher we've got at our church, he's good looking. You need to come." Actually, they probably said, "He's funny looking. You need to come see him." And so you came and you sat in a chair and you watched, and you've been here because of an invitation. Now, some of your invitations were different. Some of them were like, "Hey, listen, this is what we do on Sunday morning. You have to go to church." And so you came kind of under force. Some of the invitations were fun. Some of them were enjoyable. Some of them were intriguing. They were exciting. But the idea is that you and I are here because at some point in time, God extended an invitation to you and I, come. Think about all the, and this is interesting, maybe not to you, but to me it was, at least 12 different times in the New Testament, Jesus tells somebody to come. Now, we're going to have fun today because it's a little bit smaller crowd, and I need you to wake up, and I need to wake up, so I'm going to come down here. We're going to talk for a second. Somebody give me one. There's a spot in your bulletin for 5. Come all you faithful. Okay. The Christmas hymn. Anybody else? A time when Jesus says, come. Let the children come to me. Okay. There's one. Another one. There's at least 12 of them, so you got a lot of pick to pick from. Come who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Good deal. There's 2 at least. Another one. Come taste and see. Psalms, yes. Psalms, I think it's in Psalms. I'm pretty sure it is. Come taste and see that the Lord is good. Another one. Come be fishers of men. His invitation to the disciples, very short, simple. Start out. He says, "Hey, listen, you come, you follow me." What does it start with? Coming. It starts with the act of coming. You come to me. That's it. All right. There's 3. Another one. So much pressure. No, listen, you can't get it wrong. You can say come anything. It'll fill it up. All right. What does Jesus tell Peter when Jesus is on the water and Peter sees him from the boat? Come. Hey, listen. You want to know if it's me or not? Get out of the boat. Come on. What does he tell? Yeah. Come to the banquet, it's ready. That's right, in our scripture, yeah. There's at least 14 different times in the New Testament, Jesus asks somebody or tells somebody, "Hey, listen, come. Come because you're weary. come taste and see that I'm good. The bread, he said, he calls himself the bread of life. He calls himself living water. All these are invitations where Jesus is saying, listen, you come to me, you come to me. In fact, the idea doesn't just start in the New Testament. It goes all the way back into the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God gave things like this. He said, sorry, I've got to try and find out where I'm at in here. Yeah, okay. You see that all along in the Old Testament, God was telling humanity, hey, listen, I'm coming to you to restore you, to offer you forgiveness of sins. I'm coming back to give you these things. Psalms has verses about come to the house of the Lord. Come consider the works that the Lord has done. 1,900 times in Scripture, the idea of coming is said, is mentioned. To me, that's a lot. Like, I went through a concordance that somebody gave me, and I looked that up, and it was like pages after pages after pages of this idea of an invitation. And the first part of the invitation is, listen, just come. It's that simple. It's that easy. It's come. There's a second part of the invitation, too. The second part of the invitation is this, try or taste. I forget, some taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34:8. Again, Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. I'm the living water. Now, what do bread and water have in common with each other? They both have to be tasted or tried for them to really become appreciated. Anybody ever been like super thirsty? Like just insanely thirsty? Okay. Now, if I've got a glass of water and I stand there and you have a glass and you're incredibly thirsty and I have this glass of water and I say, hey, here's this glass of water. And you say, oh, that's wonderful. Thank you for bringing me that glass of water. But you never drink that glass of water. Does that do anything at all? If you stand there and you hold the glass of water, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't seep in through your like skin, I don't think. I don't think it seeps in through your skin and like hydrates you like that. You have to taste it. It has to be ingested. If food, if you're incredibly hungry and you go to La Herradura today after church and you sit down and you get this giant, I mean, the cheese and the salsa and chips and man, it's wonderful. And I'm making you hungry on purpose so that you'll go there. And maybe I can go there and you sit down and you say, oh man, look at all this food. And you just look at it all. And you just look at it and you smell it. You're going to walk out of there full? No, you at some point have to take those bites, put them in your mouth and taste and try. That's when this becomes appreciated. The second part of the invitation is try to taste. Give this thing as God calls you, as God invites you, you taste, you try. And then you're going to fully appreciate what God is calling you to do. How many of you became a Christian? Somebody gave you the invitation of, hey, listen, come. I'll get personal. I'll tell you my story or part of my story. My invitation would look like this. I knew my family was saved. They were going to heaven. I knew I wasn't saved. I wasn't going to heaven. For a 7-year-old, that was scary. And I was like, what? This? I don't know. I don't spend the night without my mom and dad. And you're talking about eternity, which I can't even fathom without my mom and dad. No, I don't want to do that. I want to make sure that I'm going to heaven. And so I came. The preacher preached the thing, and I came because I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. I wanted to be with my family. That simple. But then as I tasted, as I tried, as I continued to walk further and continue to respond to God's calling to continue to come after him, I found out that every step along the way became better and better and better. And what I found in salvation of I don't want to go to hell, that would may have been the starting spot. But man, when I found about forgiveness of sins and I found about this love of a father that is unconditional, that he gives to me over and over again, I found out about grace and mercy and all those different things. It became sweeter and sweeter and sweeter to the extent that now trying is my favorite part. How many of you guys like to try new things? Anybody? Yeah. Anybody like you go to a restaurant and you intentionally order something that you can't even pronounce? Yeah. And now when you do that though, what's your first bite like? I mean, do you get the biggest spork? They still have sporks. I don't even know. You get the biggest fork full that you can and like go for it. or you like kind of take a little piece and you're like, I'm going to try this out. That's the second part of the invitation that God has for all of us. And say, listen, try it out. Try it out. Take that next step, that next thing, that next calling, that whatever it is, you try it out and you tell me if it's good or not. Because what scripture tells me is that you taste and you see that God's good. And as you continue to respond to his calling to come and you go further and you further and you take further steps and further steps, you find out that he's better and he's better and he's better. And every step that you take, every movement towards him, closer to him, becomes better and better and better. But there's also another element of that, because it's not just enough to come. Jesus, refers to himself as bread and the bread of life and living water. All those things have to be tasted to be appreciated. The other thing too, though, is even when you taste and you appreciate and you find out the goodness of God, there's still this element of trust, isn't there? Part of learning to try is trusting, or part of trying is learning to trust. Because it's not just enough if I try different things, because my daughter, I'm going to use her because she's a great example. It was funny. I got this thing on my phone the other day that popped up. It was almost a year ago to this day. Kelsey and I came here for the very first time. You guys may not have even known that we were here. We came and we flew out because we were going to her family's wedding. A member of her family was getting married after we came here. So we flew out. We stayed at a hotel. We came and we met in Mount Gilead Baptist Church and met the committee up there. We preached and talked with them. Went to eat at La Herradura. Didn't know that was going to become my favorite place to go at the time, but like went to eat there. And then I got done, and Michael and Eugene brought us back and kind of showed us a little bit around the town and stuff like that. And they said, all right, you're done for the day, which was new to me because I was like, Sundays were always really busy days. And I was like, wait, you mean we don't have anything I'm supposed to do? And they're like, no, just go back to the hotel and hang out. So we went back to the hotel and we hung out, and I had a pool at the hotel. And Nora was just barely starting to understand what water was and like swimming and stuff. And I still have this video on my phone where she gets to the side of the steps and she jumps into the pool to me and swims. She swims to me and then she swims from me back to the steps. Well, that went on, and now it went a little bit further that week. We got to go to another pool and she did the same thing there. And then we had the whole winter time where she didn't really swim at all. But then we went back, and in this summer, she's gone further and further and further, and now she's swimming by herself across pools, down and around and all around and stuff like that. Now, how did that happen? What's that process right there? She tried. And as she tried, she started to develop this trust in herself. She started to develop this trust that, hey, listen, I can do this. I can make this. I can experience this. And because she started to try, the more she tried, the more trust that she developed. John chapter 12, verses 44 through 46 say this: Then Jesus cried out, whoever believes in me does not believe only in me, but in him who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into this world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in the darkness. It's the idea that as you come, as you try, as you taste, as you see who God is, you start to learn to trust him. Does anybody know what Micah 3:10 says? And as I'm looking at this, it might be wrong. It might be Malachi 3:10. I think it's Malachi. I think I'm wrong. Malachi 3:10 says this: Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that there is not room enough for you to store it. Now, what is that verse talking about? That verse in context is talking about tithing. It's talking about giving your tithe to God, your portion to God. But really what that verse is talking about, when you break it down to its most basic layer, is this: see if I'm not trustworthy. You look at me, God is saying this to the nation of Israel. God is saying this to you and I today. You look at me and tell me I'm not trustworthy. You tell me you can't trust me. Now, the question becomes, well, how do we know if God's trustworthy? I don't know. Keeps his promises. Yeah. How many of you raised kids, teenagers? getting there. How do you know if that teenager is trustworthy? Their actions. You got to let them go a little bit, right? That first time they get in the car, they say they're going to a friend's house, you kind of have to like, all right, I'm not going to follow you. I'm not going to GPS you. I'm not going to stalk you. I'm not going to do those things. I'm not going to like, you have to let them go a little bit. And as you let them go, what happens? They prove themselves. And so you develop trust. The same thing's true with God. You have to give it a little bit. You have to say, God, all right, I'm willing to. I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to take this next step. I'm willing to go there, God. I'm willing to come. I'm willing to respond to your invitation to do this, to do that, to do whatever. And as I do it and I try, I start to find out that he's faithful. He keeps his promises and he's trustworthy. And so the more I trust him, the more I want to give to him. The more I want to give to him, the more I trust him. And I need that different thing. And the more I try and the more I come, and it's all just ongoing, continual, continual, continual. And so it led me to think, does this ever stop? Does the invitation of God ever stop? No. Because as you come, and as you try, and as you trust, then all of a sudden God says, all right, now it's time to go. You've learned, you've found these things out about me. Now I need you to go, and I need you to tell other people what you found out to be true about me. Jesus in John chapter 20, verse 21 says this. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you. It's an ongoing thing. It looks like this. The more that I come to God, the more I try. The more I try, the more I trust, or the more I need to trust. The more I trust, the more I need to go and share, which ultimately leads us to inviting more. See, every time that you take that next step, it becomes, okay, well, now I found out that this step, God's good. So now I've got to take the next step, and I've got to tell other people what God did in that step so that they're willing to take that next step in their life. And as I continue to tell other people and invite them into what God's doing in my life, then all of a sudden God is now bringing both of us together in a path and a journey that glorifies him. Now, the question becomes, well, can I just keep it to myself? You can, but then are you really inviting anybody? Then are you really being obedient to what God's called you to do? Because God didn't call you to take steps for your good, for your benefit. He did it so that you could glorify him through them. So then what invitation do we go and give people? The same invitation that God gave you. Come, try, trust, and go. Today, there's going to be some other stuff that comes up on the screens, but today I want to talk to you guys about inviting. Because you're here today because of an invitation from God on your life. God has called you. God has brought you into this. He's extended an invitation to you today to do something. I don't know what it is. He hasn't said, hey, listen, this person needs to do this, and so you need to preach about this. But he has said, hey, listen, I'm calling people in this church to do something. And I need you to share with this with them so that they will know that this is their chance to respond to what I'm calling them to do. God is inviting each of us to know more about Christ, to take our next step in our walk with Christ. So today, if you're here, that's my challenge, my first challenge for you is that. What's your next step? If Nora would have swam from me to the steps last year and never touched a pool again, 30 years from now, you think she could swim? Nope. Why? Because she stopped. She settled for less. She decided that, hey, listen, that swimming was cool, but the dry land's for me. I don't want to enjoy that. This morning, some of you have come in here, God has laid something on your heart over and over and over again, and you've said, God, not now. I've got this really big project at work, God. God, not right now. I'm having grandkids for the first time, and that's where my attention needs to be. God, not right now. I just got married. I can't do anything without my wife's permission. God, not right now, not right now, not right now, God, not right now. And you've pushed that invitation to come. You've pushed that invitation to come, and you've pushed that invitation to come. The scary thing about that verse we read when we started this out is the end of Luke. Jesus tells the story that the people who were originally invited will never taste the banquet. Now, I don't know what that means about heaven. I'm not trying to tell you you're not going to heaven. But if heaven is the extent of your Christianity, God bless you. You're missing the whole boat. You're missing the best parts of it. So this morning, I wonder if God's not calling you to come. During our invitation, I want to challenge you to respond to whatever the next step that God's calling you to take in your Christian walk is. It may be joining the church. It may be being baptized. It may be volunteering to serve someplace. It may be, who knows? I have no idea. It may be, listen, you've never received grace and mercy and forgiveness for your sins. And so your first step is to enter into a relationship with God through Christ. The second thing is this. As a church, are we inviting people? Is our church an inviting place? I'm going to pick on Ashley for a second, if that's all right. All right. Sorry. I should have asked you this beforehand. From what I've heard from Ashley's story, somebody asked Ashley to come. VBS 2 years ago, I think. They said, hey, listen, would your kids come? They came. All of a sudden, as they came, they tried and they tasted and they saw it. Man, there's something to this. There's some good stuff here. My kids are enjoying this. I'm enjoying my kids being around other people. This is good. And so as they tried a little bit more, they tasted it and they saw that it was good. And then it caused a little bit more trust of, hey, listen, I'm going to have to push myself outside my comfort zone a little bit. I'm going to have to let my kids go over there when I'm not there with them. I'm going to have to be in an adult Bible study. I'm going to have to do different things like that. And as they trusted more, then all of a sudden they started to realize that God is faithful, that God is trustworthy, that God is good and he proves himself time and time again. And now I tell you, one of the biggest advocates of our church is Ashley. She goes and she invites everybody. No, she knows, hey, listen, you got to come to church. You got to come to church. You got to come to church. Why? Because of this right here. Because she gets it that once you taste and you see, you can't keep that to yourself. You've got to start going out and you've got to start telling other people, hey, listen, this, what God's doing is good. What God's doing is really, really good. Some of you don't invite people to church because you say nothing good happens at church. If nothing good happens at church, then I need you to go back and I need you to look at your own walk with Christ and say, what steps is God calling me to take that I'm not willing to take? Because when God starts doing something in your life and you start following him in obedience, church is the most exciting place you can be. And you want everybody to be here too. Because remember, what is an invitation for? It's because something monumental is happening in your life and you want somebody to be there with you to celebrate it. If nothing monumental is happening in your spiritual walk, that's why you're not inviting people. But if nothing monumental is happening in your spiritual walk, it's not because God's not offering it to you. His invitation is still the same. Come, try, trust, and go. You're the one who said no. God, thank you for today. Thank you for this time, Father. Thank you for the invitation that you give to each of us. Father, my prayer today God, is that we will take our next step. Lord, you know what you've laid on hearts. You know what you've laid on minds. God, as your word was read, you were at work. So my prayer this morning is that one, we would be obedient to take whatever our next step is in our Christian walk today. Father, I pray that as we take that next step, that we would start to be a church that is inviting to this community. Father, that because of what you're doing in the monumental steps that you're doing in our personal Christian life, God, that we would be excited to invite other people to come to experience that with us. God, I pray that you would help us to become people who respond with yes to your invitation and then go and invite other people to come, to try, to trust, and to go. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this day. I pray that during this time of invitation, you would do what only you could do. And Father, we would be obedient to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.